In today's gospel, when Jesus feeds the 5,000 on the hillside, he prefigures the way he will feed us with his own body and blood in communion. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all that we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many, many, many years ago now, when I was growing up over in Jaffrey, one of the big events of the week for the kids in town was the Saturday afternoon matinee at the Park Theater. A lot of kids would troop down, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, troop down to the theater. For 25 cents, you could get in. Once you were in there, if your parents were generous with you and gave you another dime, you could buy a bag of penny candy, you know, a bag about this big, filled with stale candy, you know. Tasted good to us anyway, you know, it's all right. And almost every Saturday afternoon, you'd go for a double feature. First movie, well, first of all, before the movies began, you'd have a serial. In those days, when you went to the movies, they had serials, you know, a little episode every Saturday afternoon. Don Winslow of the Navy, Flash Gordon, things like that. Then there were two movies, usually a cowboy and Indian movie, and then, you know, Tom Mix, Hopalong Cassidy, Lash LaRue. And then you'd have a comedy of some sort, Abbott and Costello, Francis the Talking Mule Goes to Hawaii, something like that. Now, by the way, if any of you recognize any of these names I'm using, I feel bad for you, because it means you're as old as I am and beginning to lose it, you know, but in any case, I remember one Saturday afternoon, the cowboy and Indian movie really impressed me, because well, usually the cowboys and Indians were always, you know, enemies. In this particular movie, the Indian chief and the cowboy who was the hero, I forget who it was, became friends. And they decided to become blood brothers. That was a very sacred ritual for the Indians. You know, you put a little slit on your wrist, put your wrist together, let one person's blood flow into the other person. You became blood brothers. This was a sign that you shared each other's life. You became responsible for one another. You pledged your friendship forever. Blood brothers. Remember that particular day, one of my best friends and I decided we should become blood brothers. We didn't have the courage to slit our wrists, so we pricked our fingers with a needle, put our fingers together, became blood brothers, right? But all of that came to mind today as I was thinking about this feast of the body and blood of Christ, feast of Corpus Christi. Because this feast reminds us that in the Eucharist, Christ shares his life with us. It's as if we're putting our wrists together and his blood is flowing into us to give us his life. In the first, gospel today, when we see Jesus multiplying those loaves to feed the people, that's just a prefiguring of what he wants to do for every one of us, feed us with spiritual bread. We see that, the beginning of that, in the second reading today when St. Paul recounts how at the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread, "This is my body for you. This is my blood for you." We have to remember what all of that meant for the people of that mentality. When somebody said in those days, "my body," what they're referring to is themselves, their own person. The body meant me. The blood, when they talked about blood, blood was their life force, what gave them life. So when Jesus says, "this is my body, this is my blood for you," what he's saying is, "this is me giving my life force to you." That's what happens in the Eucharist. Christ himself giving us his life. We have to remember something very important. The Eucharist is not something. The Eucharist is someone. The risen Lord, the risen Christ present here through that bread and wine changed into his own living, risen self, giving himself to us. The Eucharist is someone, not something. You know, the fathers of the church, the early fathers of the church, had a wonderful way of understanding the Eucharist as being the completion of the incarnation. When Christ became human on Christmas, he joined together humanity and divinity. His divine nature took on human nature, humanity and divinity united. But how was he going to unite himself to every single human being? Through the Eucharist. He would come to every single one of us who let him and take flesh to himself again, our flesh, yours and mine, take us to himself and divinize us, give us his life. What a powerful, wonderful gift. Someone, not something. We might say to ourselves, you know, well, it seems so hard to believe. Excuse me. How can simple bread and simple wine be transformed into the living presence of Christ himself? How is that possible? Seems so hard to believe. And we're not the only ones who have that trouble, you know, that difficulty. Remember in the Gospel of St. John, when Jesus says in the Gospel, "this is my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink," some of his disciples abandon him. They say, "this is a hard saying. We can't cope with that." And throughout the history of the church, people have had a hard time understanding or believing. We'll never understand, but we can believe. And here's the way the fathers of the church helped us to believe. They said this: "Do you believe that the powerful Word of God created everything out of nothing? God spoke, 'let there be light,' and there was light. 'Let there be,' and there was." God's powerful Word creates something out of nothing. Do you believe that? We say yes. Well, if you believe that, why is it so hard for you to believe that the powerful Word of God could change simple bread and simple wine into the body and blood of Christ? Why wouldn't you believe that? Understand it isn't the issue. It's believing, because Christ promised it. Christ promised that when we gathered to do what he did at the Last Supper, he himself would be there. Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? Jesus walks with them. The risen Jesus walks with them. They don't recognize him until they go in for supper. Jesus takes the bread and the wine and breaks it and gives it to them. And their eyes are opened and they see him. Whenever we gather for the breaking of the bread, the sharing of the cup, it's Christ himself that we encounter. The powerful word of God transforming simple bread and simple wine into the risen Christ himself who wants to share his life with us. What a powerful gift. Let me conclude this morning with a man whose name I think I've shared with you before in a different setting. A priest by the name of Henry Sizek. He wrote a book many years ago now entitled He Leadeth Me. It was about his experience of 23 years a prisoner in Soviet Gulag in Siberia. After the Second World War, he was arrested by the Russians as a Vatican spy, which he wasn't, but they arrested him, sentenced him to almost life imprisonment in the Gulags out in Siberia. When he finally was freed, he wrote this book, 23 Years in the Gulag. Amazing, huh? But the book recounts many of his experiences. And one of the things he talks about is how the Catholic prisoners of war in the Gulag, the sacrifices they would make to be able to receive communion. They would hoard little pieces of bread that they got for their meals, which was, you know, they didn't have much. They would hoard it and hide it. Then in the middle of the night, get up, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, crawl off to one corner of the barracks, the simple wooden, cold, freezing barracks, gather around Father Sizek, who would offer an abbreviated mass and consecrate the bread for them. And then some of them would take some of the bread, consecrated bread, become Jesus, and smuggle it to other prisoners, other Catholic prisoners in other barracks who didn't have a priest in their barrack. Because those men desperately wanted to receive Christ. Every day was a struggle for them. Every day was awful. They needed the power, the strength of the Lord to get them through. And some of them knew they weren't going to make it. They would never escape or live through that experience. And what they needed was Christ reminding them, my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I will raise you up. They needed that reminder, I will raise you up. You and I aren't much different from those men in that barracks, you know. Life is not easy for us sometimes. Struggles, day to day, sometimes we have problems we don't know how to deal with. And it hanging over it all is our own mortality, right? We know someday what's going to happen. What we need is the power of Christ in us today to help us get through today. And the power of Christ in us to raise us up. That's what we celebrate when we come here. The risen Lord giving his life to us today, for today, and for eternity. May God bless you.